صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن
As we sit here tonight for this majlis, we don't know what to expect here. War seems to be imminent. Any time within 48 hours, within 74 hours, or whatever, as well. The Americans and their allies are planning to attack Iraq. I'm sure they want to attack the cradle of Islamic civilization. But we know that we cannot do very much except we go up on them. Protect them from the evil planning and plotting of the enemies. Whatever their weakness may be, whatever their shortcomings may be. But we have to understand that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the best of all judges. And how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala deals with an individual that is left to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala as well. However, we have been ordered to show concern, to make dua, to assist, to help when any person is in pain or difficulty or problem. Now, what can be a bigger problem than after the musibah of fala or test than what we are facing at present? For if the bombs are going to rain this time, then you can just imagine what destruction will take place. Allah have mercy. Because these people have got absolutely no mercy, no concern. One American has to lose his life, it's a very, very serious issue. But the blood of a Muslim has become so cheap, so cheap. Any amount of lives can be taken, and it doesn't cause any stir on the hearts of these people. But we have to understand that what is the cause of all these things. Although on the one hand we police in the eyes and we make a lot of dua, whichever way the person can assist and help, we should engage himself in that assistance. But from that pinnacle of respect and honor and dignity, to slide to such an extent that we have to virtually go around with a begging bowl in our hands and yet owning such vast amount of wealth. We are always told that the Muslims must make progress. In every field they must make progress. Now who is against progress? The ulama have kept the people back from progress. Now, progress is of two kinds. One progress is that progress which no sensible person calls progress. The body begins to grow because of some sickness. First, the matter fills up in some food and there is an expansion of that part of the body. So the body has progress. From what size it was, it has progressed. If you ask any person, it has progressed. But will any sensible person call that progress? Because when it will erupt, then we will know what happened. For the poison will spread throughout the body. And other progress is where the person is doing exercise, is eating the right food, jogging.
He is picking up weight, so his body also glows. And you see the muscles. So that everybody will say is progress. So the progress of the kuffar is something else, and the progress of the believers is a different thing altogether. The progress of the Muslims is never that of the kuffar and mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara. If they take a lot of interest money, gambling money, haram disco money, this money, that money, the business progresses. That is their progress, because this is Jannat for them, it will progress. But if a Muslim has to do the same thing, it is like that pus that's filling up in the body, and the body is blowing. That's not progress. One person climbed onto a tree, went very high, and then he didn't know how to come down. So he looked down and now you're scared how to come down. So they called the chief of the village. He was the chief of the ullus, chief of the idiots. But he was the chief of that village, by way of example. So now he came, they said, we've got to get this person down from the tree. And you are the chief, so you must be having a lot of intelligence. So what is the best way to bring him down? So he looked up, he looked down 5-6 times. And then he said, right, we've got the idea of how to get him down. So just get a good rope. So they brought a rope. So throw the rope. They threw the rope. So right, now tie it around your waist. So he tied it around his waist. Now he told those people, pull him. So when they pulled him, what happened? His skull cracked, his bones broke, and his life departed. So they said, what did you do? You were supposed to get him down. You sent him away forever. So he said, but so many people, we took them out of the well just like that. So many people, when they were drowning in the ocean or river or in the well, when they were drowning, then we said, throw the rope and pull them out. So the same rope we used. So now the rope that was used to pull the person out from the well, now if you use that same tadbir to pull the person down from the tree, that is exactly what we are doing today. All the opposite tadbirs. Everything that displeases Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala we do, and we say, oh Allah, send your mercy, send your rahmat, send your blessings. That's our condition. Opposite tadbirs we do. To gain the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and assistance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is a system. You have to look into the Quran and Sunnah, that how did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam get them out in very difficult situations. Very, very difficult situations. What we are going through today is nothing. At least today they've got so much of ammunition, so much of planes and so much of missiles and bombs. The Muslim countries have got so much. That time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with a handful of people, hardly much equipment, and they were surrounded by enemies. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is making dua. He said, Ya Allah, if these 313 have to be vanquished today, then there will be nobody left to take your name on this earth. But we have to see that what was it that he instilled in them which drew the assistance and nusrat and madad of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The Quran Sharif says very, very clearly, In tasbiru wa tattaqu la yazurrukum kaiduhum shay'a. Pehle bala bhi hai, bala in tasbiru wa tattaqu la yadurrukum kaiduhum shay'a. Sabr and taqwa. There's no way without taqwa Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's madad and nusrat will come. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was just born, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at that time the customary practice was that the women used to come from outside and they should take the children away to the villages and nurse them, foster them. It is well known in history, and every little child knows that Hazrat Halima Sadia took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this too, they know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a yatim, so therefore nobody was really interested in taking Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because they thought that what will we get if we have to take him, what can we really get in return? He's got no father. It's a long story. I'm not doing history, but what I want to bring to your attention is this. That Hazrat Halima was very weak, and she had come also in search of a child, but nobody wanted to give her a child, because they said if you're going to give her the child, she doesn't have enough milk for her own children, and her home is also, there's poverty. What is she going to do? How will she care for our child? So on this side nobody wants to take Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that side nobody wants to give Hazrat Halima a child. Finally she takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But what did they know, that who did she take in her hands? Now the point that I want to bring across, which just came to mind now, is that when she picked up Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the camel on which she came, when she came, it was the slowest of all camels. Mulna Sayyid, it was the slowest of all the camels. In her home, there was hardly anything to eat. There was poverty, there was pain and problem. But when she took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her arms, the camel began to move faster than all the rest. It overtook the others too. In her home, there was nothing but barakat. The milk in the goats increased. In the crops, there was increase. In everything, there was nothing but barakat, barakat, barakat. Now, what did she really take in her hands? Did she take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time? She took Muhammad ibn Abdullah. At that stage, he was only Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Allah Ta'ala knew that he was the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. But this zuhur of the Nubuwwat, he was Nabi before even Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created. His nur was already created before that. But the zuhur of that Nubuwwat, the people came to know that he was a Nabi after he was informed in the cave of Hira in the 40th year. So when she took him, at that time she didn't know that she had taken the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. But look at the barakat that she started getting. Just by taking Muhammad ibn Abdullah in the hands, she started getting so much of barakat. Now obviously this was not possible for everybody else to do. The entire ummah now, when they came to know that he was Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now to get that barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was not possible that Rasul-e Pak must again become a few months of age and then they will carry him in the arms to get barakat. So what did they take? They took the amal of Nubuwwat. Hazrat Halima Sadia took the jism of Rasulullah in her hands, and she saw so much of barakat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's companions, they took the a'mal, the actions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam into their lives. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them so much of barakat, that empires fell at their feet. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help, other than nusrat, was assured, it was guaranteed. There could have been tests, trials, and very severe ones. وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهُ. Very, very difficult and trying times came upon them. But at heart they knew that Allah Ta'ala's madad will come, because they had these two things, sabr and taqwa. And sabr I explained in many other majlises, one is sabr ala ta'at. That no matter how difficult it is to make namaz, to give zakat, to fast, to go for hajj, and to undertake all the other ibadat, to fulfill the rights of people, no matter how difficult, but the person makes sabr on that ta'at. Then he makes sabr anil ma'asi, from all the evil, from all the haram. No matter what great desire comes into the heart to commit zina, to drink, to gamble, to engage in other kinds of haram, but he restrains himself. He makes sabr from that ma'asi. And the third one is, he makes sabr alal musibah. The taklif, musibah, difficulties, hardships, whatever comes whilst the person is propagating the deen of Islam and whilst he is passing the message of this deen, of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he makes sabr on that and he continues. Now when he does these three things, then he's automatically got taqwa. What else is taqwa but the fulfillment of all these ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, restrain oneself from all haram. So when they had these two things, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we know how He assisted them in the battle of Badr, battle of Uhud. There were trials, there were tests. But that was to sort out the believers from the disbelievers, the munafiq from the mukhlis, that who is the sincere one and who is just a hypocrite. The hypocrites all ran away. At present, this is our weakness. So this is what I was saying, that here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when their amal they took, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them progress. And they kept on progressing, and taraqqi they made. Then on the other hand, or the other side of the coin, if we just take one incident, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in the sixth year, he wrote letters to the kings. After Sulh Hudaybiyah, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started writing letters to all these kings and rulers, inviting them towards Islam. To different people he wrote, and one amongst them was the Kisra of Iran, or Persia at that time, which was one of the empires, the Persian Empire. So that letter was sent with Hazrat Huzafa Sahmi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Huzafa Sahmi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he delivered that letter to this Kisra. So what did Kisra do? He said, my slave, and he writes to me that I must accept Islam, I must believe in his Allah, and I must believe in him. He is my slave, and he is writing to me. He has got the audacity, na'uzubillah, to write to me. Doesn't he know who I am? In other words, he was the Fir'aun of the time. So he was very, very upset that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is writing a letter, yet we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, at that time, in what a weak state they were, outwardly. But he wrote this letter. So Kisra tore the letter. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, his kingdom has been shredded to pieces. When he tore the letter, and Hazrat Huzafa came back crying, and he informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that this is what he did. He said, his kingdom is already torn. Tearing of a letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which the only thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was that testify and believe that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. He is wahdahu la sharika lah. And then testify that I am his messenger. Now this was the message which was given to him. But he tore that. Tearing up that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, his empire is torn. His kingdom is gone. And then Kisra appoints, he writes to his governor of Yemen, Bazan, and tells him that send two very good, powerful, strong people to Medina Sharif and go and arrest him and bring him over. Now look at the Fir'auniyat. So these two people, they go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now they were sent, they were not Muslims. Read the books of history. Read the books of history, you will find it in there. They were clean shaven. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face away. And then he said that, who is it that told you all to shave? Said, our king, our ruler. Said, but my Allah has ordered that I keep the beard, lengthen the beard and shorten the moustache. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was hurt seeing the face of a disbelieving person who had come to arrest him. These two people had come to arrest him, but he was hurt. He couldn't take it, he had to turn his face. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told them, well, alright, but when they came to arrest him, Allah Ta'ala put such fear into their hearts that they were shivering and very much afraid to deliver that message. But finally they said, this is what we had come for. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, well, come tomorrow. And he said, come tomorrow. And the next day he told them that last night at a certain time, your Kisra has already been killed by his son. He said, last night at a certain time, your Kisra, his son, has already murdered him, his own son. And that's the end of the کسرا now. So now that time there was no communication like today. You pick up the telephone and check it out whether it's true, or they had to travel back to check whether it's true. And then those two people, they said that this doesn't look like some ordinary person's words. And he said, also informed them that my kingdom or my nubuwat, it will reach all those areas where your Kisra was ruling. Now imagine, at that time he's saying that we will reach all those places. So they took that message and they went back. They realized that it was true. Bazan and all his people accepted Islam. But the message that is there very clear and loud and clear for us is this, that the tearing up of a letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought such destruction that the son murdered the father and his kingdom was shredded to pieces as predicted by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. After that there was just chaos there, and it's a long story, but there was nothing left of that kingdom after that, and the Muslims began to rule over that same area where Kisra was ruling. The Persian Empire, Roman Empire, all fell at their feet. So if the tearing up of one letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which there was just a small message, brought such destruction, my dear brothers and sisters, how much of ahkam, laws of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we tear every day of our lives. Every day in our lives, how much of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sunnats we murder. Every day and every moment of our lives, how many laws of Islam we violate. How many of us, the first thing we do in the morning is take the shaving machine and scrape our chins and do exactly that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw, he turned his face away. So if we are going to tear up Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hukams, Allah Ta'ala will tear up our empires. Again, we must not be the judges. Allah Ta'ala is the best of all judges. We must not point at an individual and say that this is wrong or this person is heading for hell. We don't know. This is a general statement, and it's not necessary that individual cannot change. Today he may be committing some kind of sin, today he may be shaving, tomorrow he could be the most pious person. So we cannot condemn any individual. However, as a general rule, when you look at the newspaper and you say that this is the army of Iraq, this is the cabinet of Saddam Hussein, or this is the parliament of this Muslim government or that Muslim government, there are so many of them where the entire cabinet, the entire parliament or the entire military, you won't find one person, not one, on whom you will see the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Not one. But people say these are trivial things, trivial things. Well, we can keep saying trivial and keep suffering the consequences. But who is going to convey this message to them? That there is no way that we can bring the nusrat and the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala except by submitting ourselves to the will of Allah. Whatever we are seeing, the barakat is because of the du'as and the tears and the tahajjuds and the crying and the weeping before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of our pious and righteous ones at the Haram Sharif and in Makkadina Sharif and wherever they are, and when they are assembled in Mina and Arafat and Muzdalifah, and when they are before Allah Ta'ala in seclusion, we do not know how much they are tearing for these Muslim brothers and sisters. And because of that, we are still seeing some kind of life. Otherwise, all of us would have been destroyed long ago. Now this is something that is a haqiqat, it is a reality. So whatever is going to happen there, only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows. But if we look at our condition, knowing that war is about to take place, this is imminent, it's imminent, bombing is expected any time, still at that time we cannot get 100% or at least the majority to start making namaz, turning towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, making rujoo towards Allah ta'ala. We just can't seem to get that. Somebody said, he said that he heard over the radio that some person said, does it need reminding all the time? What? That he must make namaz, make namaz. Does a Muslim need reminder all the time? Definitely he didn't need a reminder. If he was a true Muslim, he didn't need a reminder. But we know our condition, whether we need reminders or don't need.
Tumhe ghere hai dushman, muslimo hushyar ho jao. Tumhe ghere hai dushman, muslimo hushyar ho jao. Raho bas ab na ghafil, musta'id kar ho jao.
The enemies have surrounded you. Don't remain heedless anymore. Don't remain negligent anymore. Don't remain indifferent anymore. O Muslims, get up. Become alert. Get up from the slumber and the sleep. Realize that we have made mistakes in life, we have gone far away from deen. We have got just a little bit of deen in our lives, and that too just here and there, something we have brought into our lives. But the deen itself, we do not really have, the complete deen. So get up, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Don't lose hope in His mercy. Nobody knows what can happen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's planning is very, very different. He is the best of all planners. If an ummah, the whole ummah gets down, making use of the tadbir, we don't say they must only make dua, we don't say they must only go in the masjid and make namaz. They have to make use of all those forces and the military and the ammunition and the weapons and whatever they have got, they have to make use of that. But together with that, become exactly like what that spy who had come to the Muslim camp went back and reported about the Muslims, the Sahabas. He said, what are they? He said, they are the Sahabas. He said that who they are. He said, they are Fursanum bin Nahar wa Ruhbanum bin Layl. During the day you will see them on the horseback. They are Mujahids. If they are fought against, then they will fight back. And they will make jihad with all their might and power that Allah Ta'ala has given them. And then at night you will find them on the musallas crying before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You won't say that this was the person that was a mujahid in this morning. Now he's completely ajiz. There he will be challenging the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the enemy force. And now at night he will be asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for his assistance and for his help to fight them during the day. So that is what I saw in their camps. So even today, even at this last hour, if only the Muslim has to do that, that each and every one makes tawbah and says, oh Allah, now we are helpless. What else can we do? If these bombs start raining left, right and center, and what kind of bombs and what kind of weapons of destruction they have got. They are talking about weapons of destruction. So if they say, oh Allah, you are the only one now who can protect us, we will use whatever we have got, but we have no trust in our equipment, and they fight, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can turn tables. the head of the military of Pakistan, in the plane he was traveling, 12 of them crashed. The plane crashed and 12 of them, senior officers of Pakistan military, they died recently. Or did they even have the slightest knowledge that a few minutes' time all of us are going to go? Musharraf and his whole gang couldn't do anything to protect that plane from crashing. And they were the most senior officers. Iran, what happened? Senior officers. America, we do not know how many of the planes have already crashed. But of course they don't die. And they don't crash because of some missile hitting their plane. It's always a technical fault, or sometimes the tire and wheel falls off and sometimes something else happens. But they all survive. They get a little bit bruised only. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, just a little bit of turning towards Him and conditions can change. There's nothing to lose hope, but there is the need to change. There is no other way out but to change. And we in this part of the world, we have to change also. Make a lot of dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Give up the sins in our lives. Sins bring disaster and destruction. Acknowledge, confess before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, cry before Him. Admit our weakness, that indeed we have gone far. But Allah Ta'ala is very, very merciful and He is prepared to accept. His servant who raises his hands before Him and begs of Him forgiveness. So he says, now don't remain negligent anymore. Raho bas ab na ghafil mustaid de kar ho jao. Pe namu se din sab muttahid ek bar ho jao. Na ho dunya me jiski dal wo talwar ho jao. Become that sword for which there is no shield that can, no sheath that can protect you. Get together, but have ittihad, have unity. Now this ittihad and unity we don't have between two brothers, we don't have between two sisters, we don't have between two families, but we want this unity and ittihad in the whole ummah. How will it come? And especially if we look at the national and international situation, then it is so hurtful, it really hurts. But what can we do? Can we do anything more than making dua? Does any one of us have that kind of ability to go to all these Arab governments, Muslim governments, and tell them that don't sell your iman for a few miserable dollars? How can you provide airspace and facilities and everything else to attack your Muslim brothers and sisters? Irrespective of what your differences may have been, irrespective of what your arguments may have been, irrespective of how many wars you may have fought in the past against each other. But now at this time, when the whole ummah is the target of the enemies, then at that time too, are you still going to look at the war that you fought 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, or your differences, or your quarrels? And are you still going to accept all these bribes? Which day have they become loyal to you? They were the greatest friends of Iraq at one time, and now they are the greatest enemies. When Iraq was fighting Iran, then that time they were on the side of Iraq. They were supplying everything. So there's no loyalty. Wafa and loyalty is not in the dictionaries. The person who is not loyal to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can never show loyalty to anybody else. Jo Allah Ta'ala ka wafadar nahi, wo kisi insaan ka wafadar kabhi bhi nahi ho sakta. because then he'll be a matlabi, nothing else. If he's a wafadar of Allah Ta'ala, then only he can show wafa to somebody else. I would have liked to go on, but I will just conclude today's majlis, because I had just before Asar such severe pain that I thought how won't be even able to make it for the majlis. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazal, ihsan, and your people's du'as, that tumhara har amal laike khairul umam hoga, tumhara har amal jab laike khairul umam hoga, tumhare qalb ka jab ye عرب ہوگا عجم ہوگا جب یہ پرچم کے نیچے پھر عرب ہوگا عجم ہوگا مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ انشاءاللہ if اللہ تبارک و تعالی gives life, health and opportunity, will continue next week. Amen. But what else can we do tonight except to make sincere dua? That's about all we can do. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help and assist them. Read the Durood Sharif and take a little pain on our hearts, but make dua from the depths of our hearts. Conditions are indeed very, very frightening. At least on the day of Qiyamah we can say, oh Allah, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we could not go and stand by their side and fight and wage jihad. So this is what we did, at least made dua for them. But as I say, Turkey, Bahrain, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حي يا قيوم، يا حي يا قيوم، يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك نستغيث، برحمتك نستغيث، برحمتك نستغيث. يا الله، اے میرے پیارے اللہ، اے میرے رحیم اللہ، اے میرے کریم اللہ، اے میرے ستار غفار اللہ، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف کر. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ، او مائی موسٹ پاورفل اللہ، آل مائٹی اللہ، مائی موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ، کائنڈ کمپیشنیٹ لونگ کیئرنگ اللہ، we are extending our begging bowls before you. Oh my beloved Allah, the ummah is suffering. Oh my beloved Allah, we are confessing before you, we are acknowledging. Oh Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins, we are confessing. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Oh Allah, the azab that is coming on our, ah, my Allah, it is because of our sins. Mere Allah, hamare gunahon ki wajah se sare alam ke andar nuhusat phail rahi hai. Oh my Allah, forgive us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah,
forgiveness is in your hands. Ya Allah, once the doors of forgiveness are open for us, then the conditions will change, O my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, open the floodgates of rahmat. Open the floodgates of forgiveness. Ay vere Allah, ay vere pyare Allah, O my Rahim Allah, O my forgiving Allah, forgive the ummah throughout the world, especially in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Ay Allah, Hindustan, jahan kahin bhi ummat-e-muslima hai, in Africa and throughout the world, Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah. But O my beloved Allah, at present the focus is Iraq, where Allah, war seems to be imminent. Oh Allah, they have planned to destroy Iraq. They are already giving contracts for reconstruction. Oh Allah, billions of dollars of contracts are being given for reconstruction. Oh Allah, there is nothing they want from there but the oil. Allah, وہ مسلمانوں کو برباد کر کے وہاں کا تیل حاصل کرنا چاہتے ہیں. میرے اللہ, وہ حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت کے سروں پر بوم گرا کر کے تیل حاصل کرنا چاہتے ہیں. میرے اللہ, when my beloved Nabi علیہ الصلات والسلام is informed that the ummah has become so weak in their iman that they are accepting bribes from their enemies against their own Muslim brothers and sisters. Where Allah, Turkey, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, Pakistan, Mere Allah, when my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed of the hypocrisy of these governments, Ay Allah, Hijaz-e Muqaddas, Saudi Arabia, Mere Allah, you gave them so much of wealth, you gave them so much of oil, you gave them so much of power. But oh my Allah, the hypocrisy has reached a level where they are openly siding the enemies. Mere Allah, ab tere siwa hamara kon hai? Tere siwa ummat ka kon hai? Who else is there now, oh my Allah, besides you for the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ya Allah, whatever their weakness, whatever their shortcomings, Ya Allah, the people of Iraq, whatever their weakness or shortcomings, the people of Palestine, whatever their weakness or shortcomings, O Allah, the people of Afghanistan and other places, whatever their weakness and shortcomings, Ya Allah, how long does it take you to forgive them? Ya Allah, our sins are much, much more than their sins. Ya Allah, therefore we are seeking from you forgiveness. Even if our sins are more than the waves of the ocean, even if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, even if our sins are more than the raindrops that fall from the heavens, even if our sins are more than your entire creation put together, Ya Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more than that. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away our sins. Where Allah, if men can make dynamite sticks which can blow up huge mountains, Ay Allah, what is it difficult for you to blow away the mountains of sins? Ay Mere Allah, the awliya-e-kiram, the pious, the righteous amongst us, they present to you their good deeds and their piety, O my beloved Allah. But O Allah, we are presenting to you our sins and the sins of the ummah at large. Ya Allah, blow away the mountains of sins, Ya Allah, with the sticks of Tawbah. Ya Allah, with the dynamite of Tawbah, blow away those mountains and assist and help them, O my beloved Allah. Unki madad farma, unki nusrat farma, Ay Allah, unki hifazat farma. Mere pyare Allah, farishton ke zariye se unki madad farma. Ay Allah, give hidayat to the enemy forces. Ya Allah, create. Ya Allah, give them iman and Islam. Open their eyes to iman and Islam. But oh Allah, if they have become the Firauns of the time, if they have become obstinate, if they have made up their minds that they will bring about destruction, then oh my beloved Allah, then you shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Mere Allah, tere liye mushkil nahi hai. Ya Allah, you can cause the planes to crash. Oh Allah, cause the ships to sink. Cause the bombs to rain on their own heads. Allah, shake the ground beneath their feet. Ya Allah, create division amongst themselves. Ya Allah, create divisions in their alliances. Oh Allah, let them become at loggerheads with each other. Allah, unko aapas mein lada de. Allah, unke aapas mein jagde qayim kar de. Allah, unko ek dusre ke khilaaf qayim kar de. Allah, tu musalmano ki madad aur nusrat farma. Allah, don't look at our weakness. Don't look at the weakness of my brothers and sisters, whether in Iraq or Iran, or in Palestine or Kashmir or any part of the world. Ya Allah, look at the tears of Thy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much he cried over Allah. How many times his place of sajda was wet with his tears. Allah, how many times his garment became wet with his tears. Allah, how many times he stood whole night in prayer for the ummah. Allah, his feet swelled. Ya Allah, how much of his blood flowed? He died the blood of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So much is flowing that his shoes become filled with his Mubarak blood. Ya Allah, this ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, far too much of tears and blood has been shed for it. Allah, look at those tears and the blood of the sahabas. And oh Allah, forgive the ummah. Ya Allah, send your angels and help them. Ya Allah, you send the Abawil to destroy the army of Abraha. Allah, Abraha had come with huge elephants. And oh Allah, these tiny little birds with the tiny pebbles, oh Allah, you send to destroy that army. Aaj bhi mere Allah, tu wahi Allah hai. You are the same powerful almighty Allah with the same power and qudrat and the might. No weakness of Allah has come in you. Allah, hum kamzor ho gaye. Tu to kamzor nahi hai wa. Mere Allah, hamare hal par raham farma de. Allah, hume paabande shariat bana de. Oh my beloved Allah, we have gone weak, but you are still the same Allah that was in Badr, in Uhud, in Khandaq, in Fateh Makkah, in Hunain. Mere Allah, aaj bhi tu farishton ko bhej sakta hai. Mere Allah, tu hamare aamal ko bad dekh, tu hamare haal ko bad dekh. Allah, tu Nabiye Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ki duaon ko dekh, Nabiye Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ki aansuon ko dekh. Look at the tears in the blood of my Rasool Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and help the people. Ey mere Allah, tu ummat-e muslima ke haal par raham farma, karam farma. Allah, unite the hearts of the Muslim ummah. Allah, unite the governments. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the Muslim governments. Hey Allah, save them from the taking of a bribe. Hey mere pyare khuda, strengthen their iman in you. Ya Allah, create the love and desire of jannat in their hearts. Allah, put the khawf of akhirat into their hearts. Hey Allah, make them strong and powerful in their iman, oh my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, in their trust in you. Oh my Allah, we know that as far as weapons are concerned, Iraq doesn't possess anything that can really save Iraq. Ya Allah, there is nothing that they can really use for their defense. The only hope that we have, oh Allah, is in your qudrat, your power, your might. You can change the conditions, oh Allah, just as you change the conditions in Badr and in Uhud. Mere Allah, aaj bhi tu badal sakta hai. Mere Allah, hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de. Oh Allah, remove our heedlessness. Oh Allah, get us up from our slumber and sleep. Allah, make us paabandh of shariat. Oh Allah, make us obedient to your commands. Ya Allah, Kisra tore up the letter of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You tore his empire, oh my beloved Allah. Oh my Allah, day and night we are tearing the hukam of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Day and night we are tearing those letters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Allah, in our lives we are tearing them. Ay Allah, our salats we are tearing. Ha, mere Allah, the masajid at the time of Fajr. Oh my beloved Allah, if my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to see the condition, he will call us munafiqs and hypocrites. Mere Allah, how can we expect after that your nusrat and your help? But what we know, oh Allah, is that you are truly merciful and very forgiving. Whatever sins we have committed up till now, O Allah, forgive them. Whatever life is left, O Allah, let us be obedient to you and to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, don't tear us as you tore up the empire of Kisra. Mere Allah, hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de, tera qurb de, teri marifat de, teri muhabbat de. Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Allah, mujahideen Islam ki barpoor madad farma. Wherever they may be, O Allah, assist and help the mujahideen of Islam. Ya Allah, when the time of our departure comes from this world, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Let us get shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action, except all the works of deen which are taking place, except our du'as with the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Allah, hum jaise bhi hai tere bande hai. Ey Allah, jaise bhi hai tere bande hai. Gunegar hai, daapak hai, siyakar hai, gunegar hai, gande hai, sab kuch hai, magar tere bande hai. Tujhe chhod ke mere maula, hum jaye kaha. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں. وہ ہو جائے میرا, میں ہو جاؤں اس کا. یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا, یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں. کوئی تجھ سے کچھ, کوئی کچھ مانگتا ہے. الہی, میں تجھ سے طلبگار تیرا. ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی. یا ایہا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد مبارک وسلم. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, وسلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب